Mark Collier is here with me in the studio right now. This is Saturday Night Live. We've got some music and we've got some prizes. But, yeah, we're 90 years young and celebrating the fact that we're having a good time. Now, Jeannie's phoned through and got her on the line right now. You want to talk about Sammy Sparrow, is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. Tell us your memories.
Okay. I used to listen to Sammy Sparrow at 8:15 of the morning.
And at 8:15, this would happen.
Sammy Sparrow.
And Gary be saying, "Hello, girls and boys." Oh, yes. So you listened and your memories?
And I knew I had 4 minutes after that to catch the bus to school.
Yeah, 4 minutes.
And the funny thing is, years later, when my younger son was about 5, we actually got a Markland train set off Sammy Sparrow.
Wow, that's all right.
Yes.
And
still got it.
Yeah. Did you hear Gary O'Callaghan on last Monday?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah.
I've been listening to 2E since I was 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that.
62.
Oh, good on you. Just a mere child. Well, in the studio sitting opposite me is a former. He worked his way up from a journo, the news director, and then a program manager, then general manager, and now. I'm back in 1988. Bond has bought TUE and made this man, Mark Collier, CEO, not only of TUE, but the sister station that they owned at the time, 3AK in Melbourne. Do you think I'm nervous?
No.
Nice to talk to you, Jeannie. Thank you for sharing that.
Bye.
Okay. And we've got some Butte songs and memories coming up. So, Bondi, and that would have been interesting then.
That was. It was it was Hollywood, basically.
Yeah.
It was a different planet. And, of course, Packer actually got the Nine Network back again, yeah. As you no doubt remember.
Fire sale, yeah.
And ripped out the bars and all the rest of the stuff. Well, during my 2UE 3AK time, I would commute. I'd do 2 days in Sydney, 1 week, 3 the next, and the rest of the time in Melbourne. And I had a beautiful office down there. 3AK was part of the GTV9 building in Bendigo Street, Richmond, where the Graham Kennedy Show came out of, Hey Hey It's Saturday came out of, Nine News, of course, every night. And I had a beautiful office and an ante room off the office with some beautiful black leather sofa and 6 bar fridges, from floor to ceiling bar fridges in my office. And we would adjourn in the evening and we'd go across to David Leckie, who was the CEO of GTV at that stage. We'd have a couple of drinks in his bar. I'd have drinks for staff on the Friday night. Absolutely different world. You'd drive into work, into the car park at Richmond in the morning for Channel 9 and 3AK, and you'd see guys with trolleys, wheeling trolleys. There were 2 staff, full-time staff, whose sole job was to refill the fridges in Channel 9 and 3AK.
Oh, you're doing my head in. I just laugh.
Oh, mate, it was a different world.
It was a totally different world. The future of radio, you and I both have the same feelings from the heart. Radio is a great industry. It is growing. We're getting more listeners who are listening longer.
Yeah.
And it's so immediate. Now, tonight we're going to cross. We're going to see how the soccer goes. We're going to see how the tennis is going. We're going to see how the Brisbane and Queensland elections are going. And we're going to be talking to people. People can phone in. We'll tell them about the traffic. We'll tell them about the weather and the news. It's a great medium.
It's a tremendous medium. And it's always, well, in recent decades anyway, it's had the ability to take people there to the scene of news. And I have a problem when I watch the news on television at night, commercial and ABC, and there'll be someone appear in court at 10 o'clock that morning and they'll run the story as breaking news at 6 p.m. or they'll cross to someone standing in the dark outside the courtroom, and I sort of can't see the logic in that.
Yeah.
But radio's been doing that for decades and decades and decades. And we went to the stage where we would report from news. You'd have to be at the car because the transceiver would be inside the car. And you'd put on the old GPO... Bakelite headphones and press the button and talk and go live to air. Then we went to these mobile phones, and I'll never forget Stan Zamanek, who covered many America's Cups for us. We got him to cover the Australian defence off Fremantle, and we got 2 of these big Telstra mobile phones. He said he carried them onto the boat for all of his coverage of what was happening off the coast for the defence of the Cup. And he said he came back and it was, he said his arms were about 10 centimetres longer. from the weight of carrying these two mobile phones, which were like six bricks, each one of them, you know, and all of that's changed now. And you look at your mobile phone and the smartphones and the sort of technology that exists, but radio, you don't need a camera. You do in terms of supporting the radio station's website. That's become part of the art now.
Yeah.
But it's still being live at the scene of things, and technology's worked in radio's favour.
You're getting a Facebook message through about the pilot of the helicopter, Brent Liddell?
Yeah, Brent was our first pilot.
He went to the UK, and he went over there to fly, they say here, North Sea oil rigs.
He flew to and from the North Sea oil rigs. Yeah, these big helicopters that they have to take staff to and from. Yeah.
The thing about radio is, apart from all those things we've just touched on, it's the emotional side. We can make you laugh, and we can make you cry, and we can make you angry.
Yeah.
Let's try this.
Friday News Review.
Oh, Your Majesty, my name is Crackerfat.
Are you from the PLF?
That is correct, but you may call me Yasser.
No, sir.
Yasser.
No, sir. Oh,
no, I mean my name is Yasser.
Meanwhile, here in Canberra, the Prime Minister and folk legend has launched another stinging attack on the ABC.
Hey, now, I don't know if you saw Play School or Mr. Squiggle last week, but I would say this to you in respect of those ABC programs, Peter. There was absolutely no mention of me in either of them.
The people of New South Wales, the people of New South Wales, deserve better.
Yeah, and that's one of the memories that happened on the radio for so many years.
And I think it's been really magnanimous of 2UE to play, to put John Laws on air, certainly Gary O'Callaghan, who's come out of retirement to join the station last Monday for the 90th birthday, but to put Ray Hadley on air, because the old rule used to be never talk about your competitors, but Yui's been so magnanimous in bringing people back out of the past and actually allowing them to become part of the celebration. I think that's tremendous.
And one person who was part of the celebration, and she was just absolutely amazing, and she's on my Facebook and your Facebook too, Marcella.
Marcella Zamanek, yes. Yeah.
And, of course, the late Stan, he was brilliant.
Hi-ho, everybody. Welcome to the Figgity Bidget Bigot Show.
Bruce has got his own intro now. This is fantastic.
Hi,
all right,
everybody.
You...
Welcome to the Figgity Bidget Show.
Righto, Bruce, I'm with it. What do you want?
Now, what the hell is 60 Minutes doing wasting all that valuable money on that studded dog's collar that you've been talking about? I could use that collar on my blue boy.
Mm-hmm.
He could do with that.
Maybe we could put the dog collar around you.
Oh, well, I could put it on me red heel or on me blue heel. Either one could make use of a damn good collar on that, but I can't afford a bloody collar. Now, what I'm on about is this 60 Minutes mob.
Yes.
These little buggers are playing silly buggers again, like they always do when they're short of a story. What they do is they get these unknown professional young actors, say, righto, I'll put a dog's collar on you, miss. I'm going to get you to play the role of a person disillusioned with life.
Bruce,
you'll tell them
Bruce, I have to tell you that I think you are brain dead. You know that? I want you to go to Canberra Hospital tomorrow, and I want them to do a test on your brain, because I really don't think, Bruce, that you have a brain at all. And I think it'd be a great experiment for mankind if you went along to Canberra Hospital and they did a test on you just to find out if they've got some sort of brain in there. But unfortunately, illiterate jerks like you have got no idea what is going on in life, because you're a card-carrying member of the Communist Party, you've never worked in your life, you've never owned anything in your life, and you've been jealous of everybody else in this country who has some sort of shares, some sort of life, and some sort of money, and you're a bitter and twisted person, and you're mad as well.
I'm coming in your life.
You could never laugh that good, Bruce.
Bloody idiot cactus head. Go and bloody shave your bloody cactus head, cactus face, and you might bloody educate yourself and stop farting on your chair.
Oh, beautiful, Bruce. On that note, well, I think we'll finish it there. I think we can only go so far. But listen, thank you very much. Do call again, and please, you know, keep on taking the medicine, for God's sake.